Please head back with me this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians. We are heading back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. If you remember, in this particular chapter, Paul has once again been dealing with some problems in this church. And in chapter 11, he deals with some issues in the way that they as Christians were worshiping the Lord. We spent a little time looking at this last Sunday morning, especially in dealing with our worship of the Lord and really why we're even here. And of course, the rest of chapter 11 deals with a very special form of worship, which is called in verse 20 of chapter 11, the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. So last week, from verses 17 through verse 22, we looked specifically at how not to approach God in worship and how not to participate in the Lord's Supper. I'd like to begin by reading those verses where he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. But when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." So specifically this particular church, before they would have a celebration of the Lord's Supper like we often do, they would have what was traditionally called a love feast. They took this as from what Jesus had done with his disciples. They ate together the Passover meal, and then he instituted his Lord's Supper at the Last Supper there. And so they thought it'd be a good opportunity for us to come together as a church family and to eat a meal together before we introduce the Lord's Supper and enjoy that and celebrate that together. But we all know from what we see here that it went terribly awry. And instead of coming together as one and uniting around that and enjoying that meal together, what they did instead was they separated themselves, and perhaps the rich would just eat with the rich, or those that were one particular group, one particular job and career path, that's what they were together. The poor would come in a little later and all the rest of the good food was gone. And so that created strife and divisions among them. And even though in verse 20 it would have been for to come to eat the Lord's Supper, maybe that was their intention and the goal, ultimately, they never did. It never really got to that point where they didn't have the right motive and the right desire in doing this. So what we learn in those first few verses there was how not to approach God in worship and how not to participate in the Lord's Supper. The problem was that when they came together for worship and for fellowship, it was not for the better, but for the worse. And so we needed to assess our own reason in coming to worship the Lord in a public setting, a public service. Why do we come? Is it for truly the better, or does it turn out to be the worse? If it's for the better, it's for the blessing of God. It's an opportunity for us to praise God. It's an opportunity for us to bless others and encourage others. But it's also for us to receive that blessing and receive the Word of God in our hearts. Is it for the better, or is it for the worse? Of course, when they came to the Lord's Supper, what we just read here, it became a source of contention instead of communion with the Lord and with each other. A quote that I read last week I thought was appropriate for even this morning. Matthew Henry says about how they were approaching God in worship and through the Lord's Supper. He said this, quote, "What was appointed to feed the soul was employed to feed their lusts and passions. What should have been a bond of mutual fellowship and affection was made an instrument of discord and disunion." And so often we need to assess our reasons for getting together and what actually goes on when we come together for worship and for fellowship. Is it for the better, or is it for the worse? Are we feeding our souls, or are we feeding our lusts and our passions? What should be a bond of mutual fellowship and affection, is it becoming an instrument of discord and disunion? Why are we here to worship? Well, this week, through the verses that we'll consider this morning, the first part of this section that is so familiar to us, we read it just about every time we come to the Lord's table. verses 23 through 26, we will learn how we should worship and how we should understand and participate in the Lord's Supper. So read with me our text this morning, verses 23 through 26. Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Again, this is teaching us how we should worship and how we should understand and participate in the Lord's Supper. Well, because of these familiar verses, which really echo some parallel passages in the Gospels, we can continue to participate in the Lord's Supper together as a church. This is something that churches from all ages and in all places, all times, have done throughout church history. And there are many, many things that we can look at and learn from about the Lord's Supper and in these verses here this morning. But there's one thing that I want us to focus on today. One thing in these verses I believe that we need more than any other thing that we can learn from here. And that is the incredible opportunity that God has given to us as Christians for fellowship with Jesus Christ. True fellowship with Jesus Christ. You see, the focus of all of our worship, the focus of all of our services, and even the focus of the Lord's Supper in particular, can and ought to be fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, this is where they went wrong in the first verses that we read this morning. This is where they had things awry, is that they were not there to have fellowship with the Lord. They were there perhaps to have friendship and renew acquaintances and have a meal with some of their friends and acquaintances and cronies. But it wasn't about having fellowship with the Lord. And what Paul does here in these next few verses, as he reminds them of what Jesus had given them to participate in as the Lord's Supper. He says, this is the focus. This is what it's for. This is what it's all about. It's so that you can have a greater, closer, more intimate kind of fellowship with your Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. That's what this service is all about. That is what worship is all about. Remember, it's not just for feeding our flesh, but for feeding our soul and blessing and praising God for who He is and what He has done. That is to be the focus of our worship, and specifically the Lord's Supper. It's the opportunity that God has given us for fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. When you think about it, the Lord's Supper is a very simple form of meal. Very simple. For most of us, it's more like a snack because it's very small. Very small portions. But when you think about a meal, when you think about a dinner, especially elaborate meals and elaborate dinners like Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even a Christmas dinner, or even a birthday supper or celebration, you might even go out to a place to eat. What makes those dinners, what makes those meals so special to us? Is it the food? Sometimes it's the food. Sometimes it's going to a place where you don't normally go because you like that kind of food. It's kind of like me and going to Texas Roadhouse. I love their ribs. And so, yes, that does make it special for me. And so when we go, which is not very often because it's expensive, that is something that we do enjoy. But when we come to the Lord's Supper, what do we have food-wise? We have bread and we have juice. We have bread and a cup. Not real elaborate, not real fancy, very simple elements that we use to celebrate. And so the focus is not so much on the elements and on the food themselves, on what we're actually ingesting and bringing into our bodies that makes it so special. What about the occasion? The reason why we often get together as a family on Thanksgiving is because it's an opportunity for us that you don't normally have. Often reunions take place at these times. The occasion often for us is a very special time, and that really helps us get an idea of the purpose and the point of the Lord's Supper. It is also the occasion But you know, the greatest thing that makes the Lord's Supper special, as well as any other dinner, whether it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthday, whatever, it's the people, isn't it? It's the people. We're family and friends, people that you truly love and care about, that you come together for a meal. There are few better places for people to enjoy fellowship than around the table for a meal. I think to some other family members, even today, one of my nieces, Emily, is getting baptized this morning. And we're excited for her and we're thankful because she accepted the Lord Jesus as her Savior and she's now expressing that faith and love through baptism. And one of the things a lot of our family is getting together there for the service and afterwards, they're going to go to the Bluebird there in Morristown. And they're going to have a great meal. And the fellowship is going to be great because they're there to encourage her and to help her in her faith and her walk with the Lord. There's no better place sometimes to experience that joy and fellowship than around a table for a meal. And that really is one of the reasons that the Lord's Supper and the Lord's table is so special. It's not just the food. Even though each element, the bread and the juice, the bread and the cup, even though they are rich with significance and meaning and symbolism, it's not even just the occasion, even though it should be a very solemn time as we consider the great sacrifice Jesus made on the cross for our sins. The reason the Lord's Supper is so special is because of the fellowship that we can enjoy with people, including our Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is so special because it's the Lord Jesus who invites each one of us to enjoy a time of fellowship with Him at His table. Think about it. The Creator wants fellowship with His creation. The Master wants fellowship with His servants. Back then, the Master would have one place where they would eat and the servants would eat in their quarters. But we have a Master who wants to have fellowship with His servants. We have a Savior who wants fellowship with the sinners. The sinners who've been saved by Him. And if you think about it, we who should have been and were estranged and should remain estranged because of our sin, yet He welcomes us as sinners into His arms to save us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who through this supper wants fellowship with you and with me. I want each of us to consider today one simple question as we look at these verses. Are we enjoying fellowship with our Savior Jesus Christ? Whether it's at the Lord's Supper, which we had on Easter Sunday, that was our last time, or whether it's any time of service and worship with the Lord. Are we enjoying true fellowship with Jesus Christ? Are we enjoying the fellowship that He offers and invites us to? Are we experiencing and enjoying true fellowship with Him? That's the question I want us to think about as we look at these verses. Because fellowship with Christ first is so special and so enjoyable because it is based on the personal invitation of Jesus Christ to us. It is based on the personal invitation of Jesus Christ to us. And that is one of the focus points of these verses. If you look at verses 23 through 25. Paul says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Now this is one of the reasons why he was so upset with the Corinthian believers. That's why he said, I can't praise you in this. Because he had once delivered them, or delivered this information to them about how they were supposed to do the Lord's Supper. And they weren't doing it the right way. They weren't doing it with the right motive and the right manner. And so he said, I can't praise you. And that's why he says in verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. And this is it. The Lord Jesus, the one that invites you to have fellowship with Him, the Lord Jesus who through the bread and the juice offers Himself and invites you to have that relationship and that fellowship, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took that bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Again, He invites and He says, take, eat. And then He goes on after the same manner also. He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. As oft as ye drink it. Take, drink, take, eat. Paul understood the fellowship described in these verses when he writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." You see, Paul is not just talking about the instructions that he received from the Lord, which he then relayed to the Corinthian church and to our church as well. He is talking about what the Lord's Supper means and how to perform the Lord's Supper, even though that is all part of it. He's talking about the fellowship he received from the Lord. The fellowship through the Lord's Supper. Paul is wanting us to share with him what the Lord Jesus shared with him. Fellowship. True fellowship. There are many scholars that believe that Paul had a period of time in the Arabian wilderness where he received specific instruction from Jesus for a period of about 3 years. After he was converted on the road to Damascus, after his blindness was lifted, after he left Damascus for a period of time to receive personal instructions from the Lord, and that probably was the time when Jesus would have relayed this information to him and shared with him specifically what he wanted to share with the other churches. But that fellowship that Paul had with Jesus would have been so great and so sweet and so wonderful. And that is the kind of fellowship that he wanted us and them to enjoy and experience with Jesus as well. The kind of fellowship that the Lord's Supper represents. You see, the Lord's Supper is an invitation for fellowship with Jesus. And whenever we participate in it, that's one focus that we need to have as we come. It is an invitation that Jesus offers to us to have real fellowship with Him. There was once a mother who had just spent a lot of time and energy and money planning for her daughter's wedding. I can imagine some of you who have had a daughter wed understand a lot of the work, a lot of the effort that goes into that. After considering everything she had done, she made this comment. When throwing a party, the invitation is the hardest part. The invitation is the hardest part. Why would an invitation be the hardest part of any kind of party or wedding or anything else? Well, it could be the hardest part because we are limited in so many ways, aren't we, as human beings? As humans, we're limited. We're limited in our budget. You'd like to invite so many people, but you can't because you're limited to what you have as resources. There might be limited seating where you're going to have this party. You might even have limited friends. You can't invite so many because you don't know so many. But you know, for the Lord, the invitation that He gives for close, loving, intimate fellowship is open to everyone who is His child. And so that is what makes the Lord's Supper so enjoyable for every Christian. And that was one of the problems that the Corinthian church was having. Was they had the haves and the have-nots. And the haves had the greater part of the food and had the greater part of the meal. And the have-nots, the poorer Christians, they came and said, you know, there were some that were hungry. The food wasn't there for them. And so it created discord instead of fellowship. But the Lord gives us an invitation that has no limitations to His people. And so the opportunity for fellowship is open to every child of God. To every one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is not just something reserved for the great men and women that we would have met here in Corinth. Or people that we might consider to be great men and women of God from times past. No, it is something that He reserves to every believer and every true Christian. You see, Jesus made fellowship with Him possible for us. He made fellowship with Him possible for us. If the bread and the cup had not been prepared by the Lord, we would not be able to come to His table for fellowship. But as we read here in just a few verses, Jesus took the bread and He took the cup. What does that bread represent? What does that cup represent? The bread represents His body, doesn't it? And that body that was broken for us. The cup represents His blood, the blood that was shed for us. And those two things show us what He gave so that we could have fellowship with Him. Those two things show us that He gave up His body and His blood as a willing sacrifice for our sin. He took it up so that He could give Himself to us and have fellowship with us. You see, if the bread and the cup had not been prepared by the Lord, we would not be able to come to His table for fellowship. But Jesus took that bread and took the cup so that we could have fellowship. It was a willing sacrifice. Something else that we see in these verses is that if the bread and cup had not been blessed by the Lord, we would not be able to come to His table for fellowship. But what did Jesus do? Jesus, before He gave those elements to His disciples, it says that He blessed them and He gave thanks for them. It says in verse 24, when He had given thanks. In verse 25, after the same manner, which describes how He had given thanks and blessed those things. Jesus blessed and gave thanks for those elements, and it shows that Jesus Himself gave Himself as an acceptable sacrifice so we could have fellowship with Him. This is something that we celebrated just the last couple of weeks with Easter and Good Friday. How Jesus offered Himself as a willing sacrifice, but it was also an acceptable sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that God the Father looked down on and was pleased with and was satisfied with so that we could have fellowship with Him through His Son. If the bread and the cup had not been blessed by the Lord, we would not be able to come to His table for fellowship. But Jesus did bless it. He did give thanks. He gave Himself as an acceptable sacrifice so we could have fellowship with Him. But also, when it comes to this invitation, if the bread and the cup had not been offered by the Lord, we would not be able to come to His table for fellowship. But what did Jesus do? He gave the bread and the cup. He gave it to His disciples, and He gives it to us to eat and to drink. That shows us that He gave Himself for us so that we could have a personal relationship with Him. It was a personal sacrifice for a personal relationship with our Savior. If He had not offered it to us, we could not come to His table for fellowship. The first thing that we see is that we can enjoy this fellowship with God because of a personal invitation through Him. Are we enjoying fellowship with Christ? Are you enjoying the close, personal, intimate fellowship that is available through Jesus Christ? You can, because He's made it possible to you. That's the idea behind the Lord's Supper. He's saying, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And then He talks about the cup. This cup is the New Testament, My blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. He invites you, and He wants you to have that fellowship that the Lord's Supper represents. We can have fellowship with Christ because He's made it possible for us. When we believe and accept the Lord's sacrifice, it was willing, it was acceptable to His Father, it was a personal sacrifice, we can enjoy that intimate fellowship with Him. But the second reason why fellowship with Christ is also special and enjoyable is because it is experienced through a personal relationship with Christ. It is experienced through a personal relationship with Christ. If you jump down to verse 26, Paul says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup." As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup. In 2005, there were hundreds of volunteers that scoured the rugged mountains of Utah in search of an 11-year-old Boy Scout named Brennan Hawkins. When Brennan was slow to get out of his climbing gear at a climbing wall, a buddy of his yelled, "You catch up with me if you can." And he ran for a steak dinner with the other Boy Scouts. As Brennan tried to catch up, he took a wrong turn on a trail and spent 4 days wandering around in the wilderness. On a hunch, Forrest Nunley decided to search out on his own. As he drove his four-wheeler along a trail some 5 miles away from where Brennan was last seen, he surprised Brennan on the trail. One of the first things that he offered Brennan was water. You see, Brennan had not had much water since he disappeared days before. He was dehydrated and probably wouldn't have lasted much longer. What did Brennan do when he was finally safe and offered something to drink and to eat? What would you have done? You would eat and you would drink. And that's exactly what he did. He drank and ate whatever was offered him. He didn't turn it down. He didn't turn it down. When Christ offered His disciples His bread and His cup, we read in the Gospels that they drank all of it. They drank and they ate all of it. And when Jesus invites us to His table, It's not just physically eating that bread and drinking that little cup, because it's easy to eat and drink all of it. But the idea is, how often do we do it? And when we do it, do we do it wholeheartedly? Do we do it with a mind and a heart with a desire for a close personal walk with Him? The Lord invites you into close fellowship with Him so that you will take Him up on the offer. He invites you to have fellowship with Him. And yet how many Christians say, well, you know, I don't have time. Or I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it later on in my life. No. He invites you into that close fellowship with Him so that you can take Him up on the offer. He wants you to eat all that He is giving you. He wants you to drink all that He is giving you. And He wants us to do it often. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. Often. He wants us to do it regularly. Whether we do the Lord's Supper weekly, as some churches do, or monthly, or quarterly. Every time we need to look forward to it. We need to look forward to it with anticipation and preparation. That is why we usually let you know a week in advance that we're going to have the Lord's Supper. It's so that you can prepare your heart for this means of fellowship and worship with the Lord. But it's an opportunity for us to remember every day the fellowship that He offers to us. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what is the bread? What is the cup? I like what Matthew Henry writes about this. He says, they are Christ's body and blood. His broken body, His blood shed, together with all the benefits which flow from His death and sacrifice. He wants us to take Him up on His offer. He wants us to experience this close, personal relationship with Him. And that's what those symbols represent. It's not actually eating the body and the blood as some believe it to be. It doesn't become the body and blood as some others. It is a symbol to remind us of who He is and what He's done. It reminds us that He was flesh and blood. It reminds us that He, as the Son of God, came and took upon flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, John says. And He gave Himself for us so that we can have fellowship with Him. And as we do so at the Lord's Supper or in any other venue, we're worshiping Him and growing closer to Him. Have you ever talked with someone who describe their fellowship with Christ more as just living under a list of rules of what to do and what not to do? Unfortunately, there are far too many Christians that think that that's what fellowship with Christ is all about. But that's not what it's all about. It's about pursuing a relationship with the Lord as you would pursue the most valuable possession in the world to you. It's as if He in that relationship for us is a pearl of great price. And we will sell all that we have to experience and enjoy that walk and relationship with Him, just as He did for us. Are we enjoying that kind of relationship and fellowship with Him? When we eat all that He gives us, when we drink all that He gives us, we will experience a relationship and a fellowship with the Lord like you never thought possible. Fellowship with the Lord comes through His Word, through prayer, through the Lord's Supper. And in doing so, we can enjoy that fellowship that He freely offers through His sacrifice. Fellowship with Christ is so special and enjoyable because it is experienced through a personal relationship with Christ. But then also third, fellowship with Christ is so special and so enjoyable because it's rewarded by a personal hope in Christ. He goes on in verse 26 and says, for as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, which he described in verses 24 and 25, what are you doing? You do show the Lord's death till He come. You do show the Lord's death till He come. One of Fanny Crosby's most famous hymns almost never saw the light of day. One day, this godly blind woman was asked by the evangelist, D.L. Moody, to give a personal testimony in one of his meetings. When she finally stood to give her testimony, she said, there is one hymn I have written, which has never been published. I call it my soul's poem. She said, "Sometimes when I am troubled, I repeat it to myself because it brings comfort to my heart." And then she said, "Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the king, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace." One of the reasons why we celebrate the Lord's Supper and look forward to that fellowship is because what Paul says, "You do shore the Lord's death till he come." What a delight it is to know that if you have fellowship with Christ in this life, you will have everlasting fellowship with Christ in the next. Everlasting fellowship. But it is an even greater delight to know that Christ is looking forward to that everlasting fellowship as much and even more than you are. It's even said that the Lord delights in the death of His saints. This communion is a symbol of the glorious reunion and the never-ending festivities awaiting the children of God in fellowship with their Savior, as William Hendrickson says. It's a symbol of a glorious reunion and never-ending festivities awaiting the children of God in fellowship with their Savior. When we come to the Lord's Supper, anytime and every time we do it, it helps us understand more of the kind of fellowship that we'll enjoy forever with Jesus. You see, fellowship here is a joint venture. It takes the desire and effort of more than one. Fellowship occurs when you join together with Christ and you enjoy Him forever. And the Lord's Supper gives us just the opportunity to do that. You see, the Lord's Supper is a time to remember. It's a time to remember. He says, "You do show the Lord's death till He come." It's a time to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us, when His body was broken, when His blood was shed. And that's how we come and approach that supper. It's a time to remember what Jesus did. The Lord's Supper is then also a time of revelation. He says it's to show the Lord's death. It's a time of revelation, revealing and displaying, and to show the Lord's death, to display our love for the Lord because of His death. It's to display your interest in the Lord. It's to show that you have a part in Christ. It's to display and to show your witness for the Lord. It's a time of revelation, a time of remembrance, but also the Lord's Supper is to be a time of rejoicing. Like Fanny Crosby described, it's a time of rejoicing till He come. So what we're doing at the Lord's Supper is we're actually looking back and looking forward to when we're going to see Jesus face to face and tell the story saved by grace, as the disciples did during that very first Lord's Supper when they ate with Him face to face. You know, that supper is going to conclude at the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we join together with all the saints and we are eating that supper face to face with our Savior Jesus Christ and enjoying an eternal fellowship with Him. And this is just a taste of that fellowship in this life. Are you enjoying fellowship with Christ? That is how we need to approach the Lord's Supper. That is how we need to approach worship. And that is how we need to approach our devotion and our time with Him. You see, fellowship with Christ is not something that is reserved only for those spiritual giants that we often read about in the Bible or hear about in messages or read about in biographies. Close, intimate fellowship with Christ is a real opportunity for every single one of His children. It's a real opportunity for those who know Him. Fellowship with Christ is based on His personal invitation. Christ desires this kind of relationship even more than we desire it. As Song of Solomon 2:4 says, "He has brought us to His banqueting table, and His banner over us is love." It's based on a personal invitation to us. It's experienced through a personal relationship with Him. Are we taking Him up on His offer? Whenever we come to the Lord's Supper, we realize it's an invitation for a greater, closer, more intimate, loving fellowship. Are we taking Him up on His offer? Are we eating the spiritual meat and drinking the spiritual drink that He freely offers? That He gives us to give us spiritual health, strength, vitality, joy, through the Word, through prayer, through each other. We can experience that relationship with Him. But then we also know it's rewarded by a personal hope in Christ. I love what Paul writes just a page or two over in 1 Corinthians 13:12, where he says, For now, we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face, a personal hope in Christ. There's a small country church in Wisconsin that has had a special tradition that they have used at the close of their communion services for many years. It was adapted from an ancient Jewish closing of the Passover meal. Since it is the hope of every devout Jew to celebrate the Passover at least once in David's city, the Jewish custom is to end the meal with a toast. And Passover participants raise their cup and say, "Next year in Jerusalem." The cup in the Lord's Supper serves as two reminders. We're to look back at the shed blood of Christ. And we're to look forward to the Lord's second coming. In other words, for all Christians, there will be a last sharing of the bread and the last sharing of the cup on this side of eternity. Have you ever thought of that? And when they meet once again, they will be in Christ's presence. But at the close of that communion service, the members of that church would raise their cups in anticipation and say, "Next time with Christ. Next time with Christ." And yet, every believer can enjoy their fellowship with Christ, not just when they're in heaven, but even here in this earth. Even today, enjoying fellowship with Jesus Christ. So the next time we come to the Lord's Supper table, the next time we read these verses, let's remember the great focus, the great fellowship that God offers to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. As we read again, Paul saying, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me.' And after the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me.' For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." Let's experience the fellowship that Jesus Christ offers every day to His people. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the privilege of fellowship with Jesus. A privilege that is shared with us and a privilege that is offered to us. And one of the great ways in which it is offered to us is through the Lord's Supper. And Lord, I'm thankful for such a simple yet profound supper. Simple in its elements, simple in its presentation, simple in its eating and drinking, and yet it carries profound implications in our own personal walk and fellowship with our Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that we will, even today, look back on the last time we celebrated the Lord's Supper, there on the Easter Sunday evening. And I pray, O Lord, that the fellowship that we enjoyed with You during that time, as we remembered You, as we revealed our love for You and revealed Your love to us, as we looked forward to the time where we will meet You face to face, as we just enjoyed that fellowship with You, I pray, O Lord, that that is something that we will fondly have in our mind and our heart and look forward to that day where we will eat with You face to face and drink with You face to face. And Lord, I pray that whenever the Lord's Supper is presented, I pray that we will be ready and prepared to enjoy that fellowship in a renewed way, but to prepare for that even now by renewing our fellowship with You every single day. The next time could be in heaven. The next time could be face to face with You. And so every day should be a day of fellowship and relationship and intimacy with You. So Lord, I pray that through this message and through these words, through this understanding of the Lord's Supper, that we will realize it's an opportunity for us It's an opportunity for us to reflect on our own walk and relationship with You. Help us to take You up on Your offer. Help us, Lord, to remember Your invitation. Help us, Lord, to love You because You first loved us. Help us, Lord, to run after You because You have drawn us. And thank You, O Lord, for the Lord's Supper, which again reminds us of all that Jesus did. He prepared it for us. He was accepted for us. And He gives us fellowship with Him. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.